How is your heart this morning? How is your heart? How is your heart this morning? Are you filled with just like a deep calm, with like a mountain lake? Do you have peace in your heart? In John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This verse tells us how the peace of Christ is available to those who trust in Him. His peace, deep like a mountain lake, calm and still, is available to all who trust in Jesus. In Christ, we can have peace, and the world cannot take it away from us because Jesus has overcome the world. Now, the things of this world do not bring peace. You know, many people have hearts, and it's sad to say, but many people have hearts full of anger, like a sleeping volcano. They may look peaceful on the outside, but deep down they're just full of hot anger, and you never know when they're just going to erupt on you. You know anyone like that? They look calm, but then all of a sudden just, wah! You know, because inside there's so much stress and so much anger. Other people have fearful hearts, like a boat in a storm. Okay, we didn't get the volcano. Okay, this is the sleeping volcano at Miyagi's out. Some people are like this. They look calm, but deep inside, they have that anger. And then other people are fearful, like a boat on the ocean. Boat on the ocean, a storm, and the lightning is crashing, and so they're just thrown about by the ways of this world, and they fear every thunderclap. Every little thing just makes them cringe with fear, and I know some of us know people like that as well. They're just afraid all the time of every little thing, whether it's anger or whether it's fear. People don't have peace. But we don't have to be controlled by fear and anger. Jesus offers a better way, a way of love and peace. And yet we have to be honest, we have to admit, even as Christians who believe in Jesus and trust Him, we don't always fully experience the peace of Christ in our daily lives. You know, sometimes we feel it for a while, we go, "Oh, I've got that peace," and then other times it kind of slips away. And I think this is maybe because we have not yet learned to fully trust in Jesus every day as we walk with Him. The more we trust in Jesus, the more we just rejoice in His love, the deeper and more meaningful that peace becomes to us. It becomes very real to us as we know Him better and walk with Him more closely. We can experience growing peace in our lives and hearts as we walk with Jesus. It's my prayer that we would all draw closer to Jesus today. It would all draw closer to Jesus through His Word, through the Scriptures, through the songs, through the prayers, through the concert. If we draw closer to Jesus, we'll experience more and more of His peace and His joy. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. And these verses were actually part of what we read last week in last week's message. But I want to take this central little part here and zoom in on it and get a little more out of it that we didn't talk about last week. A few more things here. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. I won't ask you exactly how old you are, but some of us are old enough to remember the Berlin Wall. Do you remember the Berlin Wall? The divided East and West Berlin. The Soviet Union built it to divide the city and the nation of Germany into East Germany and West Germany, and symbolically to divide the world into the Soviet Union sphere of influence and everyone else. From 1961 to 1989, for almost 30 years, the Berlin Wall was a dividing wall of hostility that separated East Germans from West Germans. Thankfully, the wall is gone now. But this wall is still a fitting symbol of the problem of the human heart. The human heart is also divided by many walls of hostility. This division of walls of hostility in the human heart. I can't see you, so I moved it so I could say hello. Our hearts so often are divided. And sometimes our hostility is focused inward. We're often angry with ourselves. Have you ever been mad at yourself? Yeah, me too. Happens sometimes. Kind of silly when you think about it. But yeah, our hearts are even divided against ourselves sometimes. And other times our hostility is focused outward. And we're angry even with our own family and our own friends, the people we love, and yet we end up getting angry with them sometimes. And walls of hostility often divide also nations and peoples in many different ways. But the most terrible wall of all, the wall that does the greatest harm, the most damage, the biggest problem, is the wall of sin that separates sinful man from loving God, loving and holy God. There are many dividing walls, but we give thanks to God because Jesus tears down those dividing walls. Jesus tears down the walls of hostility that grow in the human heart or between people or nations or between family members or neighbors. Jesus can bring peace. Consider the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself, that's Jesus himself, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus tears it down, and he builds something new and wonderful in its place. Notice that it says that Jesus himself is our peace. No wise philosophy, no clever teaching, ascetic practice, standing under the waterfall for 3 hours in January, it doesn't do it. No energetic political movement has the power to tear down the dividing walls of hostility and bring peace. Around the world, they try to tear down the dividing. Everybody knows the problem is hostility in the heart. And around the world, they try many different things to tear down those walls, but none of them really work except relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that really brings true and lasting peace is the person of Jesus Christ in relationship with Him. Jesus Himself is our peace. In English, this truth can be expressed with a word play. Most of you have heard it before. Some people, maybe it's the first time. Know Jesus, no peace. Know Jesus, no peace. Okay, it's kind of old, but it's full of deep meaning. Apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no lasting peace. Trying to make peace without Jesus is like trying to drive your car without gas or trying to run the train with no electricity. It just doesn't work. No Jesus, no peace. But know Jesus, and you can know peace. Only the peace of Christ is sufficient to bring lasting calm, lasting joy to the human heart. And this peace is made possible by Jesus' death on the cross. Now, some people ask, you know, and it's a question. How can a violent death on a cross, a violent death on a cross, how can this violence bring peace? A question that's bothered many people. But as this picture here illustrates or shows, the cross of Christ actually serves as a bridge by which we can return to God and be reconciled to Him. The same wood of the cross can be used as a bridge to cross over the barrier to meet with Christ. Now here, the dividing wall between us and God, the problem of sin, is illustrated not by a tall wall, as it was a moment ago when we talked about it, but by a deep chasm. A deep hole in the ground, a rift, represents that division between us and God in this picture. And that's a good illustration, too, because if we try to cross without a bridge, we fail and we fall. The cross becomes the bridge to be reconciled to God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know, God, Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's holy. But we don't like to admit it, I know, but really we are unrighteous, imperfect, and unclean in so many ways. So our sins separate us from God, either as a wall or as a deep chasm that we cannot cross. It separates us from God. In fact, the truth is we deserve the death penalty for our sins. But God has mercy on us. He had mercy on us, and He came in the person of Jesus Christ to bring salvation. On the cross, Jesus died for us. Jesus gave His life as a substitute sacrifice to pay for our sins. And on the cross, the justice of God is satisfied because sin has been punished. And the love, grace, and mercy in God is poured out because at the cross, Jesus becomes our Savior. Jesus Himself was sinless. He committed no sin. Death could not hold Him. And on the third day, He rose from the grave and is alive forevermore. Through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He's here with us this morning. So this is how the violent death on the cross that Jesus took upon Himself, this is how it brings peace. You see, the death of Jesus paid for the sins of the world so that we can have peace with God when we believe in Jesus and place our faith in Him. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this cross proclaims the peace that Jesus provided through His death. This is kind of a special cross. It says peace to remind us that the cross of Christ brings peace. And then if you look, there's a circle. The circle represents the eternal love of God and the eternal salvation that God gives us through the cross. The peace Jesus brings is eternal peace. It's lasting peace. It doesn't stop. It's forever. We trust in Him. Now let's take a look from our passage at verse 36 and verse 42 in Acts 10. And let's notice what these verses tell us about Jesus. It says, verse 36, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." In Acts 10:42, it says, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." And let's look at the part about Jesus in these two verses together. Here in verse 36, if we look at them together, it says, "Peace, Jesus, Lord of all." And in verse 42, it says, "Judge of the living and the dead." What happens when we die? What happens when a person dies? Well, the Bible is very clear. It's God revealing the truth to us. And the Bible tells us that when we die, we must appear before Jesus. We must appear before Jesus, and he is the judge. And regardless of what a person believes or what a person thinks or where they were born, whether a person is atheist or Jewish or Buddhist or Shinto or Hindu or Muslim or Christian or vegetarian, I don't know. Regardless of who we are or where we're from or what we're like or what's going on in our lives, when we die, we have to appear before Jesus. And Jesus decides the eternal fate of each man and each woman. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment." Now, this is kind of a tough question, I know, for some people, but is this unfair? Is it unreasonable that Jesus is judge of all? I don't think so. No, it's not. You see, because Jesus already paid the price for the sins of the world, so he already took the penalty for sin for everyone who trusted him. And Jesus freely offers forgiveness of sins and salvation to everyone who repents and calls on his name. And because Jesus came and he lived as a man in this world, he lived in this fallen world, though he never sinned, but he knows all our struggles. He knows the temptations, the problems we face. You know, he's not far off and doesn't have a clue the way some people think, oh, God doesn't have a clue what we go through. No. God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He knows what aching feet feel like. He knows what pain in the heart feels like and all those problems we face, and he knows the cross, which could not hold him, and he rose again. So it is good and right that Jesus alone should decide the eternal fate of every person. It's right. It's good, because you get a judge who understands what you're going through, not a judge who's clueless, but a judge who knows and knows everything and can't be fooled. Trust in Jesus and accept him as Lord and be saved. But reject Jesus and he will be your judge and you have to speak with him. Those who know Jesus and walk with him in this world will be welcomed into eternal joy when they come before him. All of us who trust in Jesus and who try to walk him, we're not perfect. You know, we try to walk, sometimes we stumble. But Jesus understands. As long as we're keeping our eyes on him and trying to trust in him and walk with him, his love is so great. And we'll have eternal joy and it'll be like a big homecoming. Hey, Jesus, at last I get to hug you and to feel your love in that way. Like Jesus described in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:21, we won't do the whole parable, but just this line. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Master's happy. Jesus rejoices when we trust in him and serve him and walk with him. And he will welcome us when we go home to heaven. It's my prayer that all of us, each and every one, and our family, friends, and loved ones, it's my prayer that we would all be prepared to rejoice when we meet Jesus. Because we will all meet Jesus in the end. It's my prayer that we'll be ready to rejoice and have great joy when we see Jesus face to face. Now, I'd like to close today with a reading from Psalm 85. And I don't know whether it works for everybody, but for me, the last words of this reading are just so deep and so meaningful. It says, at the end of the reading, we're going to do it. It says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Oh, that's kind of an unusual image, right? Righteousness and peace kiss each other. But I think this is such a beautiful expression of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. By giving his life on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, satisfies the righteousness of God, brings peace to us, becomes the judge of the living and dead, and all comes together like a kiss, all in one place. Righteousness and peace. It seemed like different things come together. Psalm 85, verses 7 through 10. Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, I just come before your throne through your grace and mercy, and I ask that your blessings would be poured out on us here today, on the people here, on our family, friends, and loved ones. Pour out your grace, your eternal and perfect love, and grant reconciliation with Father God, our Creator. Grant peace, that we might know you and walk with you, that we might rejoice on the day when we leave this world and come face to face with you, that we might see you with great joy, and that you might indeed say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into joy. Bless each one in the name of Jesus. You know every need. Those suffering from sickness, who need a job, who are lonely or depressed, who are having trouble with relationships in their household. Lord, you know every need. Whatever it is, meet the needs of your people. May your blessing be upon each one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.